Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, I have a very special guest in the studio with me today. Keith Goodson is a fabulous artist and a wonderful brother in Christ. And he has been on our campus the last couple of days because God has him working on a new project. And that project is going to be the fulfillment of a vision God gave me decades ago. We have wanted to build a chapel here on campus for quite some time. God has enabled us to do that. We are absolutely thrilled. It is absolutely beautiful, worshipful, joyful. It is a great, great testimony to the Lord's faithfulness, and we're glad of that. But part of the vision for the chapel was to have a work of art up at the very front of the church, behind the platform, so that we really have an ongoing witness to why our school is called St. Andrew's School and why our ministry is focused on doing what we do with children. This is a picture of the Apostle Andrew down on one knee with his arm around a little boy, pointing that little boy to Jesus. And the little boy is holding a basket that has loaves and fish in it. Now, they're not big loaves because the Bible says they weren't. And they're not big fish because the Bible says they were small. But God took that little boy's lunch and in the hands of Jesus multiplied it to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. That's been the vision that I've wanted to have on display in the chapel since long before we built the chapel. But that was the vision God put in my heart. And Keith has been gracious enough to seek the Lord and, in obedience to the Lord, embrace that vision. And he's going to be, God willing, putting that to canvas so that we can have it there in the chapel, St. Andrew's Chapel here at Ware's Valley Ranch. Now, I want to talk with Keith today about some of his journey and how God has been working in his life, how he came to know the Lord, and the way that God has blessed over the years. If you are not familiar with his work, you need to go online and Google Keith Goodson. He is a good son, Keith Goodson. And you look him up online and you'll be blown away, as I was, when you see the excellence and the magnitude of his work. He's done so much. And so, Keith, welcome to the broadcast.
Wow, thank you to be here.
We are really glad to have you on campus. You've gotten to worship with us this morning in chapel, meet some of the staff and students.
Sure did, yeah.
That's great. Now, I understand that you've been in Tennessee many times over the years, and you've been here in the Smokies many times.
Yes,
but
correct.
You never knew anything about Ware's Valley Ranch, did you?
Probably passed by on my way to these certain destinations in the Great Smokies.
And never knew we were here.
Probably looked off to my right and said, "That's a beautiful place."
That's right. Now, folks, the reason I'm mentioning that is because many of you come and vacation in the Smokies, and it doesn't occur to you, hey, I'm right by Ware's Valley Ranch. That's where that guy on the radio lives. I'm not asking you to come and bring 400 people with you. But next time you're up in East Tennessee, you really ought to look this place up because it is a miraculous place where God has answered so many prayers over the years, and we wouldn't be here if it weren't for God's miraculous provision. Now, Keith, how did you come to know Christ? Tell us a little bit about your upbringing and all.
Well, it was all over when I had a praying grandmother. that we stayed with because of my dad being deployed overseas many times. And so she prayed over me when I was 2 years old, and so that was pretty much it. I was set to do the Lord's will.
Yeah.
But 7 years old, my mom had an unction to find out what Christianity was all about and why I was at church and Royal Rangers and all this. And she introduced me to Christ, and on my knees in the bedroom, I came to know him.
Praise God. He agrees to meet with us when we call out to him, doesn't he?
7 years old, I would say that he got my attention, yeah.
Praise God. Praise God. I came to faith as a child also, and the Lord doesn't say, no, you got to get older first.
That's correct.
He's ready to meet us right where we are.
Right.
That's great. So you came to faith early in life and really lived a pretty straight, obedient life.
Sure did.
Didn't rebel against your folks.
Southern Baptist all the way and youth group and just really wanted to please the Lord and my family and constantly rededicate my life every 3 months. And so, yeah, it's in the teenage years, I just began to follow the Lord and live by example.
That's great. Now, as you got a little older, coming from that very straight-laced Southern Baptist background, you got interested in something that you weren't hearing a lot about in the church where you attended, and that had to do with the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Pretty much every day listening to the pastor and skipping over verses that were a part of the Bible and the scripture and not understanding why.
Right.
19, after I graduated, I don't know if you want me to go on that story, but
sure.
It's a very life-changing story. But I went and had a meeting with my pastor and went into his office full of books and walls of books. And I sat there with him and asked the question. I said, look, I see a lot of the scriptures here that you look over, and they are very filled with the gifts of the Spirit and different, you know, evidential gifts that come upon man. And I said, I really, can you explain this?
Mm-hmm.
And he pretty much told me that I can, but I can't encourage you based on our doctrine. Mm-hmm. And I do believe, though, that there are gifts that are given to spiritual gifts. But he proceeded to get up and walk to his ominous bookshelf full of amazing books, theological books, and dug in between two large books and pulled out a little pamphlet that looks as if it was hidden there. But on it, it says how to receive the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there that I began to dig through exactly the what God had wanted for me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now, folks, I really wanted Keith to share that because it is not contrary to Southern Baptist doctrine to believe that God still gives spiritual gifts to his people. But there are a whole lot of Southern Baptists, including some Southern Baptist pastors, who apparently think it is. So speaking here as a Southern Baptist pastor, I can just tell you, no. we believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we believe that everything in the Bible is true. Now, we don't always agree on what everything in the Bible means. But we definitely, if we are walking with the Lord, ought to know that God doesn't lie, and his word is true. And if it's in the Bible, we ought to seek him about it. And I will tell you, as you're listening right now, what I've told many people across the years. If you have a question about the Bible, ask the author, because God is willing to meet with you just as he met with Keith when Keith was 7 years old. Now, Keith, as you began to discover the reality of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, and by the way, we're not saying that you can be a Christian and not have received the Holy Spirit. We're saying that there is a sense in which many Christians receive an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, an anointing from the Holy Spirit, a gifting from the Holy Spirit that was not part of their experience prior to that. And if you want to read a great book about that, I would recommend to you one by V. Raymond Edmond called They Found the Secret. Dr. Edmond was president of Wheaton College back when Billy Graham was a student there, and he had a huge impact on Billy's life and on the lives of many others. But I would recommend that book to you. They Found the Secret, and it's simply the testimonies throughout Christian history of many close followers of Jesus Christ who discovered what it is to really walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Now, that said, Keith, God gifted you really in an extraordinary way artistically. Mm-hmm. When did you begin to realize, growing up, that you had an unusual ability as an artist?
Well, you know, it's kind of a funny thing that you ask, because at 4 years old, I was pretty much scribbling on my mom's walls, mm-hmm. and producing works of art.
Yeah.
And she, you know, of course, was upset, but now is begging me this day to come back and do her walls. But I remember in the Baptist church that I was in, we had a contest. And mm-hmm. the contest is to create a painting that God spoke to you as a young child at that time I was. Mm-hmm. And I remember just feeling just really good about the painting I was drawing, and it was a dove with an olive branch in its mm-hmm, mouth. And, mm-hmm. and I was excited. My parents were like, wow. And the prize was I would get a Bible.
Wonderful.
So I thought that was an admirable thing to shoot for. So yep. I end up winning, and mm-hmm. Knew, oh, wow, God gave me a gift, and now I have a Bible. I still have the Bible today, and as a token to what happened. And so it was from then on that I was deemed with a title of you're an artist. Mm-hmm. I began to explore that.
So you started doing art, obviously, when you were very young.
Oh, yeah.
And then as things went along, you were in various competitions, mm-hmm. and you began to be recognized by others mm-hmm. as having a real gift. You had, at one point, thought that you were going to have an agent, have a career mm-hmm. As an artist, professional artist, selling to just kind of the highest bidder, mm-hmm. and God gave you success in that regard. Mm-hmm. He blessed you in that regard. But in the midst of it, you shared with me that you were in New York City,
mm-hmm.
and you looked out of the window of the hotel in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm. Marriott Marquis.
Yeah, and you looked Manhattan. out at Times Square.
Yeah, down on the sixth floor, Times Square, looking down at 3 in the morning after a big show that we'd had.
Yeah. And you had just made the biggest sudden influx of income that you'd ever had in your life.
Correct.
But suddenly now you're looking at the crowd of people out there. And what did you see?
I saw a city that never slept, mm-hmm. first of all. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing to see because of the small town boy that I was growing up. And seeing it and for the first time in the midst of all this. And as I was standing there in awe, I felt the Holy Spirit come into the room very strongly,
mm-hmm.
Sort of even as the Holy Spirit would come and even tap me on the shoulder even,
mm-hmm.
and I felt His presence, and He began to ask me to look out the window again.
Mm-hmm.
And as I did, my whole paradigm changed at that mm-hmm. moment, mm-hmm. and I saw humanity broken.
Yes.
And it was as if the compassion of the Lord filled me to reach out and touch them through my gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember falling on my face and just weeping uncontrollably.
Mm-hmm.
And as the Holy Spirit comforted me and says, you can go this way that you have and success, and I will bless it.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I have something greater for you in your calling.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, I'm very grateful that you have been obedient to that calling. You walked away from the success you just experienced in New York, mm-hmm. much to your agent's consternation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But but you walked away from that mm-hmm. and began pursuing just day by day obedience to the Lord, mm-hmm. ministry to the body of mm-hmm. Christ. Encouraging believers to be involved in the arts and to produce art that God had called them to produce, helping equip others, motivating the church to trust the Lord and to get involved in that way. Now, it has not been a totally easy journey since that time, has it?
I would say not.
Yeah. And I appreciate the fact you've shared with me some of the stuff you've been through and some of the challenges you've faced. And I say that because I want our listeners to understand that when God calls you to do something and you say, yes, Lord, and you commit to following Him and walking in obedience, it's not as if suddenly the sun comes out and it's all rainbows and flowers everywhere. The fact is, Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me. There's a lot of this dying to self, isn't there?
No, yeah, very much so.
I want folks to understand that even though God has blessed you, He's blessed your work, He's given you success, He's given you acclaim in many realms, He's given you a devoted wife, He's given you three kids who love the Lord, there have still been a lot of painful, difficult things as you sought to do God's will. And that's important for people to understand. I think a lot of folks are under the impression that if you turn things over to the Lord, it's all going to be easy. It's all going to go smoothly. Everybody's going to love you and acclaim your work and say, you know, man, I wish I could be like you. There are people who will call you a fool. There are people who will accuse you of being a fraud, saying, you know, you're just doing this to try and make yourself look holier than others or whatever. People say all kinds of things, but the fact of the matter is there's only one audience that really matters, and that is, what does God think? Now, Keith, when you got the call about the possibility of coming and doing this project for us here at the ranch, I should tell folks, the way that came about is that one of my staff members is pursuing a master's degree in counseling at Regent University, where Keith's wife is pursuing a master's in counseling. And they got to know each other, and so this staff member learned about Keith's artistic genius and from his wife. And so that staff member said to me, you know, I really wish you'd take a look at this guy's art because I think you'd really like it. And I was not interested. I was going to be polite because the staff member was urging me to do so. But I was just not interested. I thought there's no way that this guy is going to be up to my standard of art appreciation. There's just no way. I was not familiar with Keith's work. And I'm something of a snob. So, in any case, I reluctantly looked at the art of Keith Goodson, and I was blown away. I was absolutely astounded. I'm not saying this to flatter him. I'm saying this because God knows it is the truth, and I would be lying if I said otherwise. I was astounded at the beauty and the tremendous technical expertise that Keith has in his work. And he's not just talented. He is highly skilled, very disciplined, and God has already used him to create some magnificent works of art. So suddenly then it was like, okay, this is the guy I want to have do the artwork. But how do we ever get to where we could afford to hire this guy, because this man's a master. I mean, he really is a great artist. So I prayed real fervently, and then I contacted Keith weeks later. I'm telling you, I mean, it wasn't an immediate thing, because I looked at it and was like, well, yeah, that's nice, but there's no way we're going to get him to come and do this in our chapel. But I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and I still wanted to contact him, and I finally did. I contacted him, and said, you know, I'd like to talk with you about this. And we talked on the phone.
Yeah.
And that first time we talked, what was God speaking to your heart?
It was just, yes, yes.
Praise God.
I felt a tugging of the Holy Spirit, and I began to say, wow, okay, God, you got my attention here. Praise the Lord. Let's do this.
Praise the Lord. So. And as I felt the same thing as we talked, you know, one of the concerns is you can find somebody who's really talented and really flaky. and you know, I didn't know Keith, never met him. That was our first conversation by phone. But let me tell you, when we started talking, I really sensed this is a kindred spirit. This is somebody who really loves the Lord. He's not just somebody who wants to be spiritual, but not really into Jesus. This is a guy who loves Jesus. It was clear in what he shared that that was where his heart was, that he wanted to serve the Lord and please the Lord. And that thrilled my soul, because then we're not just talking about talent. We're not just talking about skill. We're not just talking about art. We're talking about eternal life.
Yes.
And that was what it was about. Yeah. So we started talking. We had a great conversation. And he asked me what the budget was. And I said, we want you to do this, so you need to tell me what it is. And however many years I have to wait to have you do this, I really want you to be the one. And it's just a matter of we're going to have to pray and see if we can get the money. Now, correct. We had an individual, a couple actually, a man and wife, who had made a gift to the ranch for the purpose of getting art for the chapel. And I had had many conversations with them. We'd looked at another artist who's a wonderful artist and just didn't feel a go-ahead from God on that. We looked at another possible technique, a way of doing a mosaic, and it just didn't get a go-ahead from the Lord. But when I talked with Keith, it was all green lights. And so I said, all right, you pray about it and let me know what you would charge. I gave him the dimensions and the subject matter and so forth. And he and his wife prayed, and they came up with a number. And when they contacted me to let me know what that number was, it was within $500 of the amount that this couple had given for the art in the chapel.
Right.
I would, and by the way, I'll even tell you this, it was $500 in favor of the ranch. So Keith came in $500 under the amount of this gift, which is definitely lower than his normal price would be.
Correct.
But it was what God had told him to say he'd do it for. And I was just absolutely blown away.
Right.
And when I contacted Keith and Jen and said, I couldn't be more excited. Yes, we want to do it. Yes, we're ready to go. They were pleased too. Keith, we're about to sign off, but let me ask you this. What would you ask people to pray for you as you work on this project?
Yeah. Well, let me just interject real quick. My life story has been about when Moses, when God called Moses to build the tabernacle, he came to with him with very specific ideas and instructions.
Yes.
And there was a man called Bezalel. And Bezalel was trained in skills from, I believe, Egypt. And he came in and had highly technical, skilled artist and craftsman. And so Moses, God told Moses to, he would be the head artisan for building everything that they needed for the temple. And so it's the first time that God said, and he filled him with all knowledge and wisdom. He filled an artist. And so that's sort of been my my prelude for being able to do the works of God and the house of God with what he's intended for each place that I go.
Praise God.
So I'm excited about this project, and I would ask everyone to pray that God would have his way in this particular painting, and that there would be nothing that would deter me or keep me from getting the download, should I say, of God for this particular project.
Praise God. Our prayer and our belief is that God's going to use this to draw many people to him, that it's going to be an opportunity for people not just to see inspiring art, but to hear the gospel. And so please do be praying for Keith and for this entire project, and know that we are grateful. God bless you. Have a great night. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.